scripture reading this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 40, 21 through 31. Isaiah is one of my favorite books. If you have time this afternoon, go home and read all six books. It won't take you long. Isaiah was a prophet that went through many things that we go through in life. If you go to chapter 6, where he said, "I'm undone, I'm unholy," and so forth. And holy, holy, holy is God Almighty. And then he says on down, "Lord, send me, I'll go. What shall I do?" He said, "Preach the gospel." And they won't listen, but you preach to inhabitants or no more, and so forth on like that in chapter 6. When we get to chapter 4, he's talking about the greatness of God. And I'll share a little bit more in my introduction, but this is a pre-introduction of my introduction. But chapter 40, I love this chapter, especially verse 31. You'll know why. Beginning with verse 21. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers." That's us, isn't it? We're like grasshoppers. "Compared to Almighty God." He loves it so. "Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, and spreads him out like a tent to dwell in." In verse 23. "He it is who reduces rulers to nothing, but makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted. Scarcely have they been sown. Scarcely have they stalked their root in the earth. But he merely blows them on, and they wither, and the storm carries them away like stubble. To whom then will he liken me, that I would be his equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their hosts by number. He calls them all by name." Isn't that amazing? He knows them all by name. "Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. Why do they say, 'O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God?' Do you not know?" He says it again. "Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired." How many of you become weary and tired sometimes? He doesn't. That's why we go to him. "His understanding is inscrutable," or unsearchable. Verse 29. "He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youth grows weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly." And here's the one. "Yet those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagle. They will run, not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." Isaiah says a lot, has a lot to say about the coming Lord, Jesus Christ, in the book of Isaiah. And here in this particular chapter, as you recall, Verses 1 through 39 of Isaiah are written primarily to the northern kingdom, which is of Israel. Warning of its impending fall to Assyria, which happened during Isaiah's lifetime. He was around during that era. Chapters 40 through 66 are written to the southern kingdom, which is Judah, to prepare them for the exile that they would occur over 100 years, and that is after Isaiah's death. Now, God's people would be carted off to the kingdom of, as we know, Babylon. Now, you see the encouragement that Isaiah is giving the kingdoms, Israel and both Judah, the southern kingdom. And yet Isaiah assured these future readers of God's continued presence in their life and his plan eventually to return them to their home, because they were going to be in exile for over 100 years. That's a long time, isn't it? Many of us haven't seen 100 years yet, and many may not live 100 years. We have known few that have lived 100 years. But thinking about being exiled all of that time, or from a child all the way to adults, be bad, wouldn't it? But God's presence, Isaiah said, is going to be with you, and he will return you to your home. Now, although this passage was written, I would say, 2,700 years ago. That's a long time, isn't it? That's a long time ago. It still is relevant for us today. It is. If you look around and see what's going on in our world, our nation, the world itself, we can better understand. And there are times when, you know, we ourselves have been taken captive. Now, not by another country, but there's other means. Maybe worries or anxieties, our uncertainties in life. Maybe a disease or some kind of element that we have or going through, distress, sadness, grief. I can go on and on and on. Sometimes takes us captive in our lives. And we need to be reminded that God is still on the throne and that nothing is beyond the possibility. Everything is possible for his redemption in our lives. So, you know why? Because God is great. Great is God's faithfulness. So let's look together. Well, let's say this. God is great. Let's say it together. God is great. God is good. Our hope is in the Lord. You believe that this morning? He is great. He is good. And our hope is in the Lord. So we're going to look at three reasons to put our hope in the Lord this morning. Because God is great. He is bigger than your problems. You believe that? I know he is. Bigger than my problems. And he is. And I know you agree with me there. So when we look at verses 21 through 26 that I just read, Isaiah records God's greatness. See, he's declared that. God is so great. And Isaiah can go back years previous and look at what took place in the nation of Israel and the countries and his own particular life and see how God got him through all of that. And now he's saying, God is great. God is good. And I know Isaiah said, my hope is in him, is our hope is in the Lord. So God is so far above the globe or planet that we all can look, as the scripture said, like what? Grasshoppers. We all look like grasshoppers. See, he created heavens, including every star that hangs across the canopy of the mighty, mighty sky. You know, there's a lot of galaxies out there, stars, and God knows them all. We can't see that far. And heaven is far beyond that. It's nearer than we think, though, right? It is nearer. So in verse 26 of Isaiah, chapter 40 here, Isaiah says that God holds every star in place. It's fixed. It doesn't move. It's there. It's fixed. Unlike the planets that rotate around the sun and so forth. But the stars are fixed. Earthly rulers are, it says, like seeds are swept away by the wind. One of these days, one of the rulers and so forth thinks they're in control of all things. Well, I have an eye-opener one of these days. Awakening. There will be awakening. See, they serve at God's pleasure, whether they know it or not. All of us do. They are here today and gone tomorrow. God says, who are you going to compare me with? There is no one like my size, no one with my strength. Amen. Thank you. So if God is great, that means he is bigger than anything in this world, even our problems. Think about it. Somebody, Bible characters who face challenges, a lot of them. Moses, for one, stuttered. So God gave him who? A sidekick, Aaron, to speak on his behalf. Moses came up with all kinds of excuses like we do. We come up with excuses not to do something, not to serve, not to do this, not to do that. And God will provide a way. He does the calling. He does the placing. And look at David. He was tiny, so God guided his smooth stone into Goliath's forehead. Look at Mary, was unmarried, so the Holy Spirit planted a seed, the seed into her womb, the Holy Spirit did. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and God said what? My grace is sufficient. How many of you have ever had a thorn in the flesh? If you had a thorn in your finger, or briar or something, it hurts, doesn't it? You imagine Paul having to live with that all his life. We don't know what that thorn was, but to him, it was pretty big, wasn't it? He went and he prayed, God, take it away, three times. And God said, nope, we're going to leave it. You'll be more useful for me that way. He more dependable on me. And God left it. But God, and then Jesus, Paul says, when I'm weak, I'm strong in the Lord. So my God, my grace is sufficient for you, Jesus said. And Jesus endured the cross, so God gave him, what? A resurrection. All of us, one of these days. I remember, and it was like yesterday, that I sit in the ICU unit with Jim Knowles when I was in Logansport, Indiana. This man was dying with cancer, and he knew it. And he was lost. I got a call from a church member. I didn't know Jim Knowles not till the day I showed up and saw him laying there in the bed. And I got to talk with Jim, and Jim told me right off, he said, Pastor Mike, he said, we've never met, but I wanted to talk to you. I'd heard about you. And I wanted to talk to you, so I asked one of my relatives to contact you. He said, I need to know about God. For salvation, he said, I'm dying and I know it. I wasted all my life not serving God, not being in church, not doing anything from the Lord. And he said, I've wasted all those years. Very repentant. Now, I explained to him, you know, this is not something just on the surface. This goes very deep, the heart. God knows your heart. I don't know your heart, but God knows it. So if you're repentant, he'll forgive you of your sins, no matter that you've neglected him all of your life. When I got through reading scripture and praying to him, I said, "Do you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?" He said, "Yes, I do." And he did. He did. And in that moment, as he accepted Jesus Christ and after we prayed, he looked at me and said, "Pastor, I regret that I didn't do this years ago. But I saw a change come over that man's life. His problems and everything in the past were gone." And I visited Jim a few weeks. I mean, I went back several days after and visited him till he passed. And every time I walked in that room, he had a smile on his face. He says, "I'm ready to meet my God." What a blessing. And you see, he knew God was great, God was good, and his hope was in the Lord. See, God is bigger than anything that we'll face. Your problems seem big, but God is bigger than anything else. When we are in the midst of our difficulties, you know, when you just got diagnosed like Jim, when your best friend betrays you, or when a spouse is about to die, that problem that challenge seems absolutely overwhelming, even impossible to survive or get through it. Yet, we discover if we remain faithful to God, he is bigger, God is great, bigger than anything. So God is great, isn't he? And secondly, he is in tune with our concerns. And that's why he's good. In verses 27 through 31, see, God's people are headed towards exile. That's what these verses is talking about. This is what Isaiah is talking about. So they're looking at big problems in their life, being in exile, not in their own country, not being able to do the things they wanted to do. For 70 years, they will wonder if God has abandoned them. In verse 27, it says, "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God?" It wasn't God. He never leaves us. It's us who stray. It was Israel who had turned away from God. It was a discipline in their life that they had to go through to get their focus back on the true and living God, knowing that he was good, he was great, and their hope was in the Lord, but they had turned away. See, do you ever find yourself believing that God has given up on you? You ever think that? Maybe he's too busy, or maybe he doesn't care. You know, it's tempting for us to think that or say that sometimes in our lives, especially when we're going through hard times or difficulties. And sometimes God seems a long way off, and we wonder if he knows and if he does, or does he care? So Isaiah reminds us, yes, God cares. See, God is good. In verse 29, he gives strength to the weary and increases power to the weak. And see, I think Paul read from the old manuscripts and so forth. That's why he says, "My strength is in the Lord. Though I'm weak in the flesh, my strength is in him. That's where I get my spiritual strength." So he gives us that. Right when you think that you're at the end of your rope, God helps you keep going. Put your foot in one foot in front of the other to get out of bed in the morning, to leave your room one more time, to keep going forward and living your life to the fullness. In verse 30, though your youth weary and tired and vigorous young, men stumble badly. Now, and those who wait upon the Lord, who wait on the Lord, to wait on the Lord literally means to cling to Him as a vine entwines it around a tree. See, it's like you're hanging on to God with all you have. Your hope is in Him. Like the prophet Jeremiah walked the streets of Jerusalem right after the destruction of Jerusalem, and he looked at all the desolation around him, and he prayed to God. And he says in Lamentations chapter 3, "How great is your faithfulness." That's what he said. And sometimes we're so tired, we don't think we can even go forward. Yet we continue to put one foot in front of the other, and what do? We keep trusting the Lord. We cling to Him as a vine entwined itself around a tree. And we keep trying. And we may have reached the end of our rope, but God is still there. And He will come through. See, He renews us. And Isaiah was renewed in his spirit, in his life. And that's why he was able to carry on the work of the Lord through all of those years before the exile, and then after the exile, there was others that come along and carried on the work of Isaiah the prophet. But he is one of the boldest prophets that you will read here, that carried on the work of the Lord, and he was strengthened, and he saw how great God is and was in his time. He renews us. Isaiah said, takes our weariness and replaces it with his strength. See, the Apostle Paul said it like this: "When I am weak, I am strong." God helps us soar like eagles. I recall this verse, Isaiah 40:31, years ago, when I had struggles in my life, and especially stepping to the point of leaving my previous job, moving into an unknown area, uncertainties of my life, into the pastorate. And I came home one day from work, and Brenda had been reading her scriptures and devotions and so forth, and she showed me this verse. Of course, I knew it was there. I just didn't have been thinking about it, and she read it that day and shared that with me. And that helped me tremendously to find out that I need to wait on the Lord, and He would give me the strength and the power to make the decision that He knew I was going to make. But I needed to do it at the right time for the right reasons. And it was for the right reason, at the right timing. You see, if you're tired today, you know, we need to quit trying harder and start trusting God more. We need to give our promise to God, and He is much bigger, and He can take every problem in our lives, everything that's ever happened, will happen down the road in our life, and turn it into something great. See, our hope is in the Lord. See, hope in the Lord, we wait upon the Lord, and we watch how God will redeem evil for good. That's what He does. He turns bad things into good things, even turns our life into something great. And when we yield to Him and surrender our whole life to Him, see, that's when He takes over in our life and turns our life into something great. Because He's great, He's good, And our hope is always in the Lord. Can't go wrong trusting God. Can't go wrong in putting your hands and your life in the hands of God. Our Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for prophets like Isaiah, who truly sought you, walked with you, followed you, and found their strength and the power unleashed within their life. And Lord, we pray this morning, whatever the needs are in our life, whether it be physical or emotional or spiritual, may we see your great power, the strength, the greatness of your power, your greatness of your mercy and grace. If there's anyone here this morning that's struggling with sin, Lord, struggling with anything that hinders them to be able to focus completely upon you. Lord, help us, like Isaiah, like Paul, like Moses, turn to you and say, here am I. We know Jesus paid it all. And all we got to do is accept his forgiveness and live a life that is pleasing to you. Lord, this is your invitation, and I just pray this morning that you work your will and your purpose in each one of our lives. Open our eyes, open the eyes of our hearts to see you only. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for these people. I thank you for each and every one that comes through these doors. It's your appointed time with the power of your Holy Spirit to reveal to us our needs and what we need to do. Lord, I pray and I thank you that through this invitation, we will see your greatness and your goodness, and to see that our hope is in you, that we trust you with our lives. And it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.